Today's daf is Peches. We're going to start on Pei Zayin Amud Beis, about seven lines up before the end of the Amud. Tana Rabbanan. Gimel Dvarim, Shlosha Dvarim, Hitir, Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, Lianshe Tveria. Number one, this we already saw. Memalin Mayim bi Gustara b'Shabbos. Number two, Tomnin bi Atza. And number three, Mistapkin Bialuntis. Now the Gemara goes through each one of these three halachic rulings of Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya for the members of Tveria. Number one, Mimalin Mayami Guztara Bishabis and Hoda Morant. That's what we said before, that a Guztara, which is on top of the water, if he sets up an opening of 4x4 Tfachim, and he has a Guztara that's 4x4 Amos, he's allowed to draw the water through this Mechitza. Number two, Tomnin Bi'atza Maihi. Atza is what we call Psoles Shelkitnios. And the issue here is whether or not the dew, the tal, which is one of the Sheva Machshirim, fell on the kitnios, and he Dafka wants it to be moist, and therefore it's called kiyitein dumya de kiyutan. We'll explain. This sanya we learned in a brisa. Hishkim baboker, he wakes up early in the morning. Lahavi psoles, he wants to bring the psoles of his tvua from the fields, and he wants to use that for hatmana, to cover his fruits, and he goes out to the fields very early in the morning in order to collect it. In Bishvil, Sheyesh Olav Tal, if the reason why he's going out early in the morning to collect this psolis is because it has dew on it, and it hasn't yet dried, and he wants to do his atmana of his peros dafka in psolis that is moist, that has the tal on it, harehi b'chiyutan. The Torah, in the parasha of Vayikra Yud Aleph, of Tuma, of Heksha Tuma, says that it's got to be kiyutan. Kiyutan means that the peros have been wet. And you read it without a vav. The Torah doesn't have the vav, so it says kiyitain. And the Gemara darshins in Masechta Bava Metzia and elsewhere, that it's kiyitein dumya de kiyutan. Ma kiyitein midas af kiyutein badas. So if the dew falls on the peros and he's happy about it, then it serves as a machshir, and now it's susceptible to kavolas tuma, to be contaminated by sheretz or something of that sort. V'im bishvil shelo yibotam m'lachtof, the reason why he went out to the fields early in the morning is not because he wants to get moist psoles, but rather he's interested in saving himself the time of the work. You know, he wants to go out to work. He has a 9-to-5 job. So he gets up early in the morning to take care of collecting these psoles shel kitnios. Is then eno b'chiyitan, then it's not considered kiyutan because it's not kiyitain. It's not something that he was happy about. So Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya was matir for the Anshei Tveria to do this hatman and the psalms. He didn't worry at all about Kabbalah's tuma, and the reason for that is stam. And here we turn to Daf Peches. Anshei Tveria, we could assume regarding Anshei Tveria, these were workers, they're bali malocha, kemishalo yibotam imalachto dami. These are people who went out early in the morning to collect the psalms, not because they wanted dafka moist, but because they didn't want to waste too much time, they wanted to get to their job on time and punch the clock, and therefore it's not dumya dekiyitain. There's no ruts on here. They're not interested at all in having this moisture of the dew on the fruits, on the psolis. Number three, mistapkin baluntis. Aluntis is a kind of a towel that they used to use to dry themselves after they went to the Beis HaMerchatz, Maihi. What was the matir that he allowed them regarding this towel? Desanya, we learned in a brisa, mistapik odem baluntis. A person is allowed to use this kind of a towel on both Shabbos and Yontif after he bathes himself. Now, in the case of Yontif, you're allowed to bathe on Yontif. In the case of Shabbos, why is he allowed to bathe on Shabbos? And the answer is, it depends whether the water is hot water or cold water. Here we're dealing with a case of bathing in cold water, which is permissible on Shabbos. And now, the psak of Rav Chananya was that he's allowed to dry himself with a towel after he takes this cold bath on Shabbos. Now, the chiddush here is that even though the towel now becomes absorbed with the moisture, the wetness, the drops of water on his body, and you might think, therefore, he might come to squeeze the towel inadvertently, and he will now violate the Isur of Shechita. Nevertheless, he's allowed to do it. However, if he's in the Beis HaMerchatz, then there's a restriction. Meinichon b'chalon. He should leave the towel after he dries himself on the window. V'lo yimsereno la'or li'ol yorayin. He should not give it to the so-called balonim who are in charge of the Beis HaMerchatz. These were, as the Gemara says in Perakira and Shabbos, these were very, you know, sketchy kind of observant Jews. They weren't so observant. They might come to squeeze out his towel. So therefore, he should leave the towel on the window of the Beis HaMerchatz. Now, the Brisa seems to indicate that he's not allowed to take it home with him. He has to leave it in the Beis HaMerchatz. Why can't he take it home? Apparently, the Tanakhama of this Braisa is Machmir, and he's afraid that maybe on the way home, he might inadvertently come to do Schit. He might forget himself and squeeze out the liquids that are absorbed in the towel. But Reb Shimon Omer, Af Mevia Biyodo L'Sof Beiso. He's allowed to carry it by hand to his house. He doesn't have to leave it on the window, as the Tanakhama insisted, and we're not choshish, we're not afraid that he might come to forget and do schita. And now we see that in this ruling of Rav Chananya ben Akavya, he accepted that leniency of Rabbi Shimon as recorded in the Braisa. The Mishnah tells us that if you set up that machitza of the nekev, that char in the gezustera, then you're allowed to draw water from the river, the ocean, through that opening that you created. And the Gemara wants to know whether or not you're allowed to also pour water into that opening, into that machitza. What kind of water would he be interested in pouring down into the river? That would be water which is wastewater. Omar Rabba Barav Huna Lo Shanu, when the Mishnah says that this Mechitza, which is, if you recall, a suspended mechitza, we applied godochis mechitza. It's a lot, enough to be mati the gzustera, to allow him to draw the water. Elo lamalus, that's only to draw water through this opening into the gzustera. However, a lishboch, if he wants to pour wastewater through these mechitzos that are imaginary mechitzos, we call them mechitza tluya, then he's not allowed to do so also. Why? Because the water is going to go through this opening, and it'll be carried by the river out into the broader part of the river, which has the status of a karmelis. So therefore, he's taking water from a rishus hayachid out to a karmelis. In the case of milui, when he's drawing the water, then he's going to take it from the rishus hayachid, meaning exactly under these 4x4 tfachim opening, which, as we said, since the mechitzas go down to the surface of the water, he is drawing water from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaYochid into the Gezustera. But in the case of throwing the water down into the river, therefore, the water will be carried out to the river, and therefore, he is violating the Iser of Hotzah LeKarmelis. Maskifla, Rav Shizbi asks Akasha on Rabbah, V'chima Bein Zeh Le'uka. We're going to learn in the next Mishnah very shortly that if you have a small chotzer, the Mishnah will allow you to pour your wastewater into an uka. An uka was a kind of a bar, a guma, some sort of opening. If it's large enough to hold a massive amount of water, then you're allowed to pour that water on Shabbos into this uka, into this opening that you dug. And the Braisa says that that applies even if the Guma was filled before Shabbos. You're still allowed to throw and pour your wastewater into this Guma. Even though now, as a result of pouring the water into this Guma, the water is going to spill over out of this Guma, out of this cesspool that he created, and it's going to go into Rishus HaRabin. So basically, he's taking water, wastewater, from Rishus HaYochid, and it's going out to Rishus HaRabin. Apparently, this is not Osir. We have to assume that he didn't directly pour it into Rishus HaRabin. He poured it into the cesspool, into this Uka. And as a result, if it overflows, it went out into Rishus HaRabin. We don't have to worry about that. So why then do we have to worry, Rabbah, about pouring the Shofchim into this Guzdra, this Mechitza that you created in the Guzdra? Even if the water will be swept along out into the river, the body of the river, which is a Carmelist, so what? It's no different than the case of the Uka, because even in the case of the Uka, the water is eventually going to pour into Rishus HaRabin. Rabbah answers, Hani taimi, v'hani lo taimi. The reason why you're allowed to pour your wastewater into the Guma, into this Uka, is because what's going to happen is that when the water spills over, it's not going to immediately flow out to Rishus HaRabin, but rather it's going to be absorbed in the ground itself, the ground of the Rishus HaYochid. And since his intention is not for any water to go out to the Rishus HaRabin, he just wants it to be absorbed in the ground of the Chotzer, therefore, even if it goes out into Rishus HaRabin, that's not what we call Niskaima Machshavto. That wasn't his original intention. And therefore, they never prohibited such a case of Kocho, whereby as a result of his pouring the water out and the water just spilled and flowed into Rishus HaRabin, that's not a problem. But Hani, lo time, in the case of the Mechitzos of the Gustara, there's no ground over here. He's simply pouring his water through this opening that he created. And therefore, there's no absorption of the water anywhere. And therefore, it seems that his kavana, by spilling this wastewater into the mechitza that he created in the Guzdra, he's really interested that the water should be taken out into the ocean. And in fact, he's going to draw water, and he hopes clean water, from that exact spot. So obviously, the wastewater, he would like it to be drawn, and it should be streamed out into the body of the river, and therefore he's guilty of Hotzom Yerushus HaYochid to a Carmelist. Ika Diamri, however, we have a different transmission of the words and the ruling of Rabbi Bar Rav Huna. And according to this Lishna Basra, it's just the opposite. Omar Rabbi Bar Rav Huna lo tema l'malo sudis shari, but lishpoch osir lishpoch namis shari. On the contrary, in this tradition, Rabbah was mekil, and he allowed you not only to draw water through this mechitza, but also to pour your wastewater through this mechitza. And this is a big chiddush. Omar Rav Shizbi Pshita, why would I think that you're not allowed to do it? Haidu uka, ma'o detema hani taimi, hani lo taimi. There, in the case of the uka, where the water will be absorbed by the ground, that's why we would mekil. We don't consider it that he is interested in pushing the water and having it flow into Rishus HaRabin. But here, in this case of the Guzdra, the water is not going to be absorbed by the ground. On the contrary, it's going to be dragged out, streamed out into Rishus HaRabin. And therefore, I would assume, I shouldn't call it Rishus HaRabin, I should call it Carmelist, sorry. And therefore, I should assume that he is guilty of having a kavana to be motzi from Rishus HaYochid into a Carmelist. Kamash Malan, according to the second version of Rabbi Bar Huna, the big chiddush is that even in the case of Guzdra, we're not going to say that this kavana is that the water go all the way out to the river. He just wants to pour the water out to make sure it's out of his house. And indirectly, it's going to, as a result, it's going to flow out to the river, the body of the river. So therefore, what we're saying is that he doesn't have any need, any pressing need, that the water should go out of the mechitzas of the Guzdra, and therefore it's again not considered Niskaima Machshavto, and therefore it's Mutter according to the second version of Rabbah. The Mishnah says, V'chein shtei Guzdros zu lamala mizu v'yotza mechitza rak v'elyona shtei masuros. if he makes this opening in the top guzthra, which is on the aliyah, on the higher floor, and there was no opening that was made in the guzthra, in the lower floor, then both of them are asuros, which means that both the guzthra aliyona and the people in the guzthra tachtona are sharing that same opening, that same chor, that nekev, and therefore in a case where you have a reshus that's being pulled in two directions, it's asur. Each one generates an isur on the other one. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Lo Shanu, when does this din that the tachtona oseres aliyona lemalos mayim apply elibis mucha? That's only if the guzthra hatachtona is not far from the guzthra helyona. They're within four tfachim, one of the other. And if that be the case, then the guzthra tachtona has easy access to the opening that was created in the guzthra helyona, v'bemufleges. But if the guzthra tachtona is more than four tfachim away from the guzthra helyona, then we're going to say that the guzthra tachtona does not have easy access to the guzthra aliyona, and therefore this opening that was created in the guzthra aliyona is exclusively dedicated to the bnei guzthra aliyona and all aliyona muteres. The bnei tachtona do not generate an iser on the bnei aliyona, because the bnei tachtona could really not use this opening unless they throw the water, the pail of water, at a distance of four tfachim into the air. And this statement, which is mekil, and we're lenient in the case of mufleges, is a reflection of Rav consistent with his position, v'rav l'tamei, t'yomar Rav, ein olam osar al chaveru derech avir. In other words, whenever a person has to throw something at a distance of four tfachim, then he doesn't generate an isar on his friend, because we assume that this shimush, that he can use something through zrika by throwing it for tefachim, is not called a shimush. It's not something significant. It's not recognized by the halacha. And therefore, in this case of mufleges, the bnei aliyona are allowed to use their opening to draw water on Shabbos, even though the bnei atachtona also have access, but it's a very difficult access. It requires throwing of the pail for tfachim, that's called using it derech avir, and Rav says, Eino de ba'oser al chaver derech avir. Omar Rabba, Omar Abchi, Omar Rav Yosef, Omar B'shem Rav Oshaya. We're now talking about a case of a person who has a churva on the side of his house, but really that churva belongs to someone else. And let's give names over here. The churva belongs to Shimon, technically. However, it's located very close, proximate to Reuven's chatzah, Reuven's house. And Reuven, not legally necessarily, but he uses this ruin, this churva. And during the week, he is well-trained in this custom of using that churva. What's the status on Shabbos? And these Amoraim say, Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos V'churva Machzir L'Bailin. So let's try to understand the Reisha and the Sefer. The Reisha is Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos, meaning that since Reuven allows himself to use this churva during the entire week, he steals it, he has usurped the rights of Shimon, who is the rightful owner of this churva, and by usurping the use of this churva, he has now stolen the use of the churva, and the law is that a gazlan has a kinyan. The halacha recognizes kinyani gzela, and therefore he should be allowed, according to Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos, to continue to use the churva even on Shabbos. Because insofar as he's a gazlan, it now becomes, so to speak, his churva, and he's allowed to carry into his churva. Then it says in the Sefer, churva machzir levailin, which sounds like on Shabbos, the churva goes back to its original owner, which is Shimon in this case, and therefore Reuven should be enjoined from using the Churban Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, "Hagufa kasha?" There seems to be an internal contradiction in the words of the Amoraim, because on the one hand, Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos sounds like the halacha is recognizing that there was Gzela, and that Gzela, which applied during the week, now is extended to Shabbos. And because he's a Gazlan and he has Kinyonim, now he's considered to have Rishus, to be Mishtamish in this Churva, and Reuven is okay. But then you turned around and you said that Churva Machzil Abaylan, that he doesn't, Reuven doesn't have rights to the Churva, it goes back to its original owner, which is Shimon. So therefore, Amrit Yesh, the Gemara now embellishes its question in great detail and says, Amrit, you said on the one hand, Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos Al-Makanya, we see that through Gezel, you have acquired ownership over, meaning you, meaning Reuven, over this Churva, but then you tell me Churva Machzil Abaylim, which seems that again, you know, whether Reuven likes it or not, we give the Churva back to its rightful owner, this is Shimon, and therefore, as far as Shabbos is concerned, Reuven is not considered the Bailim, so to speak, over the Churva. He doesn't have it in his Rishus. And this despite the fact that you told me Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos. Alma Lo Kanya, from the words Churva Machzil Abaylim, it seems clear that the thief here, Reuven, does not have Kinyonim, and it goes back to its rightful owner. Where answers Hachi Kamer, this is what the Amoraim meant to say, Yesh Din Gezel B'Shabbos, not Gezel B'Shabbos, meaning that he has rights as a Gazel on this Reuven. No, he's a thief. He's a no good thief. And he's obligated by Torah law in the midst of Hashavas HaGzela. And therefore, when it comes to Shabbos, we're going to consider it as if he is obligated to return the Churva to its rightful Bailim, and therefore Ketzad, and therefore what's the final repercussion of this abstract halacha, the Churva Machzil Abaylim, which means that Reuven is not allowed to use the Churva, goes back to Shimon, he's the rightful owner. Omar Rabbo, Mosvinan Ashmatin. I have a question to raise against this ruling, because in our Mishnah it says, V'chein Shtei Gustaro Zulam Alamizu, and the Char, these Mechitzos, were created by the Gustra El Yona, and in such a case, the Mishnah Paskins, Shnein Asuros, even the Bnei Aliyah, the El Yona on the top floor, even though they created this opening in order to draw water, nevertheless they cannot draw the water on Shabbos because the Bnei Atachtona Osrim Aleihem. V'i Amrit Yesh Din Gezel B'Shabbos, which again, we understood to mean that if a person usurps the rights of others and uses this Rishus, then on Shabbos, he doesn't generate any Isra on the other person because he has no right to use that Rishus. And on Shabbos, as far as the laws of Erevin are concerned, it goes back to its rightful owners, Amaya Asuros. The Bnei Atachtona have no right to use the opening that was created by the Bnei El Yonim, and therefore they, Midin Gezel, have no right or no halachic validity to generate an Isra on the Bnei El Yonah. What happens is, both the El Yonah and the Tachtona, they both chipped in to create this Mechitza Tluya, and therefore the Bnei HaTachtona have equal rights to this Char, this Nekev, as the Bnei El Yonah. And since they're both partners with equal rights, there's no gzela, then we say osros zu al zu, and shtein asuros. So Gemara now asks, ihachi, if you're talking about a case where these mechitzos tluyos of the char and the nekev were created b'shutfus, and they both own it, then why does the Mishnah imply that only if this char was made in the Elyona and not in the Tachtona, then it's shtein asuros? Implying that if the mechitzos were created by the Tachtona, then it would be mutter, ki also the Tachtona nami. You want to say that now that the lower floor, that Gustra, created this char, they should be allowed to draw water through this char on Shabbos? Wait a second. Kevan di osu Tachtona, No, I'm sorry, that's Gemara's answer. So now we have a shutfus. If we have a shutfus, then even in a case, a scenario where the Tachtona created this char, the Elyona has shutfus in the char, and therefore these machitzas belong to both of them. It's a reshus l'shneim, and then osrim zel zeh. So why does the Mishnah imply that if in a case where the Tachtona created these machitzos, the Tachtona would have permission to draw water from this char? And the answers came in the Osul Tachtona. Once the Tachtona created this whole mechitza, is Galui Gale Daite, he now reveals his intention, his kavana. The Ana Bahadach Lo Nichale. He's making a statement to saying that I don't want the Bnei Elyona to have access to my char. You want to build your char, you have your char upstairs. And they were basically misalik themselves from the mechitzos, as far as the Elyona are concerned. They created these mechitzos to be matir, to allow them permission to draw water from these mechitzos, and now they have rights to these mechitzos. They were completely cutting off or alienating the Elyona, and therefore, if they're being mistalik from the Elyona, they have exclusive rights to the char in the Tachtona. And this leads us to the Mishnah here on the bottom of Peches. The Mishnah says that under certain circumstances, very strict conditions, you're allowed to pour wastewater into your chotzer. And chotzer shi pchusa me arbamas ein shofchim b'tocha mayim b'shabes, elim kein osula uka machzekes sasay. You have wastewater, right? Let's say you took, you washed yourself, you washed your hands, and the water now is wastewater. You want to get rid of it. You want to pour it out of your window into the chotzer. The Mishnah prohibits it if the chotzer is a very small chotzer. And the Gemara is going to discuss why, in a case of a very small chotzer that's less than 4 amos square, you're not allowed to throw the shofchin into the chotzer. It's a small chotzer. Now, it seems that what the Mishnah is saying in general, again, we'll get into the specifics in the sugya, is that this person really wants this wastewater to go out into the Rishus HaRavim. He doesn't want it to collect in his own chotzer. He wants to have use to his chotzer. He wants it to be clean. He doesn't want to be mekalkel's chotzer. In fact, if he has offar, if he has dirt in his chotzer, by pouring water on the dirt, maybe it'll create some sort of a muddy situation there, mud, a lot of mud. So obviously, he really has vested interest that this water go out to Rishus HaRabim, which means that he's taking the water from his house, which is Rishus HaYochid, out to Rishus HaRabim. He's violating Melechas Hotzah. However, the Mishnah does give him permission to do so in the case where he created this uka, right, this kind of a cesspool, and this is a guma, which is man-made, and it's a very large guma, and we'll see why it has to be a large guma, that holds a very significant, substantial volume of water. And now, if he creates this guma, he no longer is interested in the water going all the way out to Rishus HaRabim. He wants it to stay in the Uka. However, Machzekes Sasayim, we need that the Uka be large enough to hold Sasayim. We'll see exactly why Sasayim. The shear of Sasayim is equal to Chatzi Amal Chatzi Ama Begova and Shloshes Chumshe Ama. And this part of the uka, which contains such a vast amount of water, which is sasayim, has to be min hanekev ulamala, right? The uka on the top has an opening to it, so the water could eventually flow out. You don't want the water to pile up in the cesspool over the course of a long period of time. And what's going to happen is that the water that you usually use on a daily basis that you're throwing out into this guma on Shabbos is going to be masayim, sasayim. And therefore, if the hole of the cesspool, the opening of the cesspool, is lower than Sasayim, then the water is going to immediately pour out into Sarab through this hole. But if the hole is above the Sasayim, then a Sasayim's volume of wastewater will be contained in the cesspool. We no longer see it as if pouring the wastewater into the cesspool is considered as if he is sending the water out into Sarabim. He's the final destination at this point is the cesspool, this guma or uka, as the Mishnah calls it. And this heter of using this guma applies bein mi bachutz, bein mi bifnim. Whether or not he sets up this cesspool in his own chatzer, or he digs it outside in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, obviously, if he digs it outside in the Rishus HaRabim, we have a more serious problem, an issue here, in the water going from his house into the cesspool, which is dug in Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, the Mishnah adds another stipulation. Ela, shemi bachutz, if he sets up his cesspool, he digs it outside of his chatzit, tzarech likmar. He's got to cover up the guma. Now, by covering up the guma becomes what's called a makom ptur. There's kind of like a round covering over this cesspool, and the water goes into a makom ptur. I have a picture of it here in my Gemara. Now, we're going to have to assume that the guma is less than 4x4 tfachim. Because if it's 4x4 tfachim, it becomes a karmel. But if it's small and it's less than 4x4 tfachim, it's a makom ptur. And therefore, he's allowed to pour the water out into this makom ptur. Mibifnim, however, if he digs this cesspool inside of his chatzer, eino tzarech likmar, he does not have to cover the guma. All this is the resha of our Mishnah. I emphasize that because the Gemara is going to go back and forth, resha sefer, so we might as well identify this as the resha. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Biv Shu Kamur, Arba Amos B'Shus HaRabim, Shofrin L'Socho Mayim B'Shabbos. The Mishnah now records machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov the Mekil and the Chachamim the Machmirim with regard to gutters. That's called a biv. You dig and you create a drain system, a sewage system. And you're allowed to pour the wastewater, says Rabbi Eliezer, into this drain, which will take out the waste product, wastewater, the shofchin, if it's covered. Now, this biv, this drain, is a very long drain. It's a long sewage pipe, so to speak, and it goes all the way out to Rishus Sarabim. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov requires that only Arba Amos Rishus Sarabim, that the section and the size of the biv that requires covering is Arba Amos Rishus Sarabim. In other words, when the waters go out of his chatzah through this drainage system and they reach Rishus HaRabim, he wants a section out there in Rishus HaRabim that's 4 amos to be covered, and that's called kamur. And then shofchim l'socho mayim b'shabbos. If he has actually fulfilled this requirement and this condition, then we're going to allow him to pour his wastewater into this drain, knowing full well that the water is going to be streaming out into Rishus HaRabim, because when it gets to Rishus HaRabim, he has covered it 4 amos. And we'll see later on that the shear of 4 amos has to do with what's called nivloim, which means that the wastewater will be absorbed at that point into the ground, even a massive volume like Sasayim. Chachomrim omrim, no, I'm not going to allow you to pour your water into a drain and the water is going to now flow out into Sarabim. And even if this biv is begag or bechotzer, mea ama, whether it's a drainage that's up on your roof or out in your courtyard, and it's 100 amah in length, And you would think, therefore, if it's so long, then certainly some of the water on the way out is going to be absorbed into the ground. It's not even going to get out to the Rabbim. Lo yishpoch al pi abiv. You're not allowed to pour the water into the drainage system, because again, the water is going to flow out into Rishus HaRabbah. Well, shofech hu legag v'mayim yordim lebiv. What he's allowed to do is he can pour his wastewater up on his roof, and he has certain pipes on the roof that are going to take this water and bring them out into the biv, which in turn will take it out to Rishus HaRabbah. So we're going to see later on about the status of this gag. And the final discussion of the Mishnah is about a chotzer v'achsadra. We said that you're only allowed to pour your shofchin into a guma if that guma... I'm sorry. Start again. We said that even in the absence of a guma, you're not allowed to pour your shofchim into the chotzer because it's a very small chotzer. What happens if you have a chotzer that's only 2 amos, but immediately contiguous to it is a vestibule, what's called an achsadro. Achsadro is an area that's roofed, but it's open on all sides. And now the achsadro gives him another 2 amos. If you add the chotzer and the achsadro together, you'll finally get 4 amos. And in such a case, you're allowed to be shofech mayim there because you finally have 4 amos. So it's not a chotzer. It's not a chotzer a pchusa, but rather it's a chotzer of 4 amos. V'chein shtei dutios. If you have 2 upper stories, zo keneged zo, and he's got a chotzer that is not 4 amos. But miktsasan asu uka, miktsasan lo asu uka. So these chatzeros do not have a size of 4 amos, and therefore you would not be allowed to pour it in. But one chatzer creates its own uka, its own guma. The others did not create an uka. Then those who created an uka, on their side of the chatzer, they're allowed to pour the shofchim into this uka, even though it's a small chotzer that's less than 4 amos. But miktsasan, the others that did not create the uka, are asur. V'shalo asur uka asur. So the Gemara now asks, my time, what is the reason why the Mishnah says that if you have a very small chotzer that's less than 4 by 4 amos, you're not allowed to pour the shofchim? And the Gemara is going to offer 2 opinions to answer this question. Omar Rabba, Rabba's opinion is Nesha Odom Osu Listapek Sasayim Mayim B'chol Yom B'Arba Amos Odom Rotzel Lizolfa. Rabba says that a person might, under normal conditions, pour out a substantial amount of wastewater on a daily basis. It's a Sasayim of wastewater. And the reason why we could be lenient on Shabbos in the case of a chotzer that has the dimensions of 4 square amos is because Adam rotze lezolfan. The chotzer, if it's got this size, is considered what we call a makom chashuv. It's a makom mechubad. And he wants to keep it in good shape. So what does he do? He does what's called ziluf. Their chatzeros were made of afar, of dirt. And what they used to do was, they used to pour water on the afar, and that was called ziluf. And that was very good, so that the dust, you know, didn't fly in all directions. It would sort of keep the dust in control. He's only going to do such a thing if he has a significant chatzer, namely it's more than 4 by 4 amos. Then he's going to do ziluf. By doing ziluf, he publicly indicates that he's not interested in the water going out to Rishus HaRabbah. On the contrary, he wants the water, he has a purpose in patting down the dust right here in his very chashuv chatzer. So he has no kavanah that the water should go out into Rishus HaRabbah. That's if he has a large chatzar of 4x4 amos. However, here on Peches Amid Beis, pachos me arba, if his chatzar is a very small chatzar, it's less than 4 amos, then he's not going to pour water there for the purpose of patting down the offer, but rather l'shofchan, he's really interested in getting rid of the wastewater, and therefore it's going to go out to Rishus HaRabim. He's a happy person that it's going out to Rishus HaRabim. He wants to get it out of his chotzer. And therefore, it's this kaima machshavto, it's prohibited. He's taking water for Rishus HaYochid out to Rishus HaRabim. But Iovid Uka Shari. However, once he creates this guma, this cesspool, in his chotzer, and that cesspool could hold on to sasayim of water, then he's allowed to pour his wastewater, because then he has no interest in it going out to Rishus HaRabim. He's clearly indicated that the water will be collected here in this guma and ilo usr. But however, if he doesn't have this guma, then obviously he wants the water to go out into Rishus HaRabim and it's usr. Unless it has the dimensions of 4x4 amos, because then it's considered choshev, and then we say his interest is ziluf. That's the opinion of Rabbah. Rabbi Zera has a different take on our mission. And he says the following. Be arba amos taimi, pochus me arba amos lo taimi. The question is, does he want the water, this wastewater, to be absorbed in the ground? And if the chatzah has dimensions of 4 amos, notice the whole area is 4 amos. It doesn't have to be square, as we'll soon see, but let's say it's 2 amos in width and it's 8 amos in length, so it has all told 4x4, meaning 16 amos. In such a case, then the water will certainly be absorbed by the ground, because there's a large shetach, a large area of ground. But if it's pachos mi'arba amos, then the water is not going to be, this massive amount of sasayim water is not going to be absorbed in that small area of ground, of space. And therefore it's going to go out into Rishus HaRabim, and then he's happy about it going out to Rishus HaRabim, and that is awesome. My benayu. What's the nafkamina now between Rabbah's understanding of our Mishnah and Rabbi Zera? Amar Abaye, Orich v'Katin Ika Beinayu. It means the following, that according to Rabbah, if you're talking about the chashivas of a chotzer, it should have arba amos square. In other words, you're talking about a square that's 4x4 amos. We're not dealing with the total area, but rather the shape of the chotzer is a square of 4x4 amos. That's fine, but in the case of Orich v'Katin, which means if the shetach, all told, is going to be 4 square amos, but it is a case of a rectangular shape where the length is greater than the width, then according to Rabbah's understanding, it's not going to have that chashivas that he would do ziluf. He's not going to bother with ziluf on this odd-shaped chotzer, which is not 4x4 square amos. Whereas, according to Rabbi Zera, since the total area is equal to 4x4 square amos, even though the length is greater than the width, therefore there's enough ground here to allow for the absorption of the water into the ground, so it doesn't flow out into Rishus HaRabim. So that Rabbah would be the machmir, and Rabbi Zera would be the maker. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, chotzer v'chsadra mitztarfin li'arba amos, if the chotzer itself has less than arba amos, but it opens into an achsadra, and the achsadra has whatever you need to be mashlim the shear of arba amos, then it's mutter. You're allowed to then pour your wastewater onto the ground. And the Gemara understands now that this achsadra is located on one side of the chotzer. He's got a chotzer, and at one point he has an achsadra that leads him out into Rishus HaRabim. Is Bishleim el Rabbi Zera Nicha. This works out very beautifully according to Rabbi Zera, because even though the achsadra is on the side, once we calculate the total area, adding the chotzer, which is less than arba amos, to the shetach, the area of the achsadra, we finally get a total of 16 square amos, even though it's shaped in a different sort of way. El Rabba Kasha, but according to Rabba, we need 4x4 in a square in order to give that chashivus, to make it into a makom mechubad, so that he would bother with ziluf. So why is the Mishnah so lenient about being mitzaref the chatzah to the asadra? Tirgumar Rabbi Zera Aliva de Rabba. This is intellectual honesty, and Rabbi Zera tries to defend Rabba. The Mishnah is talking about a case of achsadra mahalechas al pnei kol achatzah kula. In other words, the achsadra is not on the side of the chatzah, but the chatzah spills immediately into the achsadra, such that if the chatzah is 2x2 amos and the achsadra is 2x2 amos, we now have a square, a perfect square of 4x4 amos. Toshma. The Gemara now wants to prove Rabba Shita from a Braisa. Chotzer she'ein ba arba amos al arba amos ein shofin l'soch ha'mayim b'shavis. The language of this Braisa seems to indicate that we need 4 amos on 4 amos, meaning if we would reflect the Shita Reb Zera that we just need a total shetach of 4 square amos, then the language of the Braisa is really misleading. Bishleim el Rabba Nicha. I understand that we need a square of 4x4 amos. That's how we interpret this Braisa. Rav Zera Kasha. Rav Zera says that you don't need 4x4, you just need a total shetach that would be equal to 4x4 square amos, meaning 16 square amos. And the Braisa seems to indicate that we need 4 square amos. Omalcha Rabbi Zera, Homani Rabbanon hi. Interesting. At this point, the Gemara says that Rabbi Zera agrees that there is a shita amongst Tanoim, which is reflected also in this Braisa, that would maintain, as Rabba insists, that the reason for the heter, if it's 4 amos by 4 amos, is because it is a serious kind of chatzah that lends itself to ziluf, and that's why we need 4x4 square amos. Rabbanon hi. This braisa reflects the shita of Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon said in our Mishnah that if you have a biv, that drainage sewerage system, and even though it has 4x4 amos, and it's a long biv, so there's certainly enough area there to be bolea the mayim, nevertheless, you're not allowed to pour the water into that biv on Shabbos. They for sure hold that you're allowed only in a chotzer that has 4x4 square amos, it's an absolute square, because then it's ru'il ziluf, and therefore they generated an Easter in the case of biv, because in the case of biv, you have a very long, extended biv that has certainly enough to absorb the water, the wastewater, before it gets out into Rishus HaRabim. But Masnisen, the Mishnah itself, which means Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in our Mishnah, he doesn't require that the chatzah be 4 square amos. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he's the one who says that even in a biv, as long as it has 4 amos, now we're talking about the length, we're not talking about a square, then it's mutter, and you're allowed to pour your wastewater into the biv, and the assumption is, because even though it's not roi leziluf, but nevertheless it'll be bolea, it will absorb the wastewater. So the Gemara asks the following question, Umay duchka de Rabbi Zera, why does Rabbi Zera sue that the ratio of our Mishnah, which prohibits if it's less, if it's a p'chusa mi'arba amos, reflects the shita of the Chachamim. And the Chachamim insist that it's got to be 4x4 square amos. Kidei re'uya leziluf, and only then will they be matir. Look me. Why not interpret the Mishnah, the Reish of the Mishnah, as reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, which means that you don't need a Mokum Aroy Lezilif, which is a perfect square of 4x4, as we saw from Rabbi Les ben Yaakov in the case of Biv. And when the Mishnah speaks about Pchusa, it means that the total area is less than 4 by 4. It's less than 16 square amos. And Omar Rava Rava answers, Masnisin Kshisei. The Mishnah and the language of the Mishnah was difficult according to Rabbi Zera Meir Yudatani. Why does the Mishnah use a language of Chotzeshi Pchusa Me Arba Amos? It sounds like the Chisaron here, and the reason why it's also in Shvichas HaShofrim, is because you don't have 4x4 Amos as a square. Because if not, listening Chotze She'ein Ba Arba Amos Al Arba Amos, why didn't the Mishnah say Chotze She'ein Ba Arba Amos Al Arba Amos? Mashma, Im Eina Merubos, Ein Ba Tzura Shal Arba Al Arba Amos. In other words, even though it has the Shetach, the equal area space of 4x4 Amos, but nevertheless, the language of the Mishnah, let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if it is Pchusa Me Arba Amos, implying Arba Amos Al Arba Amos, and that would reflect the Shita of the Chachamim. El Olav Shmaminov de Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov Shmamina. So it means that we see from, just one second, let me just, he says the language of the Mishnah was difficult. What is the reason that the Mishnah teaches Chotzeshi Pchusa? It's less than 4 amos. And that means that if it lacks a total area of 4x4 amos, then it's asur. And the word pchusa means deficient or lacking, indicating that the chutz lacks a sufficient area, is lisnei. It should have written instead chutz she'ein ba arba amos al arba. El olav shmamino de Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov hi. The Mishnah reflects the shita of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And that's why Rabbi Zera interpreted the Mishnah according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So it means that the Gemara was bothered by the following question. Why does Rabbi Zera assume that this Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Why not interpret the Mishnah? Just one second. What forced Rabbi Zera to establish our Mishnah according to, right. Why not interpret the Mishnah according to the Chachamim? And the Chachamim will say that, holding like Rabbah, because Rabbi Zera agrees that the Chachamim accepted the logic of Rabbah, that you need Kedei Roy Leziluf, which means 4x4 square. And instead, no. Rabbi Zera insists that our Mishnah reflects Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So the Gemara answers that the language of the Mishnah was difficult because the Mishnah should have said Arba Amos Al Arba Amos. And that would have certainly indicated that you need a square which is Roy Leziluf. But therefore, Rabbi Zera assumes that our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The Mishnah says, so the Gemara asks now, V'amid the Sefer. Since the Sefer of the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, his racial love, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is only quoted in the Sefer with regard to a biv. The implication is that the Reisha reflects the Shita of the Tanakama. The Gemara answers, Kula, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. According to Rabbi Zera, the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Here's the way you have to read the Mishnah. Chatzir shipchusa me'arba amos. Ein shofkin l'socha mayim b'shabes. Ha, arba amos, shofkin. She, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, omer biv hakomur, arba amos b'shizram, shofkin lesocho mayim b'shabbos. So if you add the shin, that shin links the reisha with the seifa and shows you that the reisha is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And since in the case of Biv, he was Mekil, why? Because there's enough of a four amos distance here, area, that could and would absorb the wastewater into the ground. And therefore, in the case of Arba Amos, in the Reisha, which now through the Sklisurim Etzra, it says Shofkin, you're allowed to pour the wastewater. That's because it has Arba Amos, even though it's not four square amos. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer biv hakomur arba amos shesaram shofim lesocho mayim b'shabbos chachomorim shelo yishpach al biv. But he can pour it on the gag, and then the water will flow from the gag into the biv. Masnisin de lo to kichananya. There's a third shita, which is recorded in a brisa, and that's the sheet of Chananya, which is even more machmir than the Chachamim. Desanya Chananya Omer afilu gag mea amo, even if he has a vast, large gag of 100 amo, lo yishpok, he shouldn't pour his shofrin, his wastewater, onto the gag. Lefi she'eno ein gag osi livlo el lekaleach. And it means that when you pour the water onto the gag, then it doesn't get absorbed into the ground of the gag, but rather it rolls off of the gag, flowing as it were into these pipes that were set in the gag, and that the water should go out. So in other words, Rabbi Chananya, wants the water to be absorbed, and on the gag, it's not absorbed. Tana, we learned in the Brisa of Amid, Varamurim, when do we say that if the chatzur is too small, you're not allowed to pour the water, the wastewater out into the chatzur, unless you set up that guma that we spoke about, is that's only bimos hachama during the summer season. I will be mosak shomim during the rainy season. Shofech v'shone, he's allowed to pour and pour. V'eino nimna, he doesn't have to be inhibited about it. And this is even in a case where he has no guma. My time, so the Gemara says, why is that so? Why is the Braisa so lenient in the case of the winter months? Amarava, during the winter months, when even without this wastewater, his chatzer is full of mud because of the rain that falls down, is other rotsashi bolu mayim koma. Clearly, his interest is that the water be absorbed in its place. He doesn't care lo ichpas lo im yisharu b'mkoma v'yibolu v'chatzer. He has no interest in the water going out of his chatzer. It's dirty anyway. So add a little bit extra wastewater. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says, Vare Shofchin, in the case where he pours into the biv, the other Rotsashi Balu, he's not interested in Dafka that it go out into Sarabim. It's fine for him if it gets absorbed. Viktani and Yevad Les, the Chacham say in our Mishnah, Lo Yishboch, it's Asur. So why are you so lenient about Yemos HaGeshamim, simply because he couldn't care less if it gets absorbed in its place, because anyway the Chatz is full of mud? Well, why in the case of the biv, where it will get absorbed, and yet the Chacham say it's Osir? Amalei, so Rava says to Abaye, in the case of Geshamim, of Yemos HaGeshamim, of the winter months, where the Brisas make ill, Hasam, there, Lamayin Dechushla. Why should we be inhibited and prohibit him from pouring the water into his chatzah during the winter months? Imishim Kilkul Chatzero. If you're going to tell me that he wants the water to go out of the chatzar, out into the Rishon Sarab, because he doesn't want to ruin his chatzar, homikal kalei v'kaimei. In any event, as a result of rainwater that's falling from the heavens, it's already full of mud. V'i mishum gzera, maybe you'll argue that even during the winter months we should be machmir and prohibited because gzera shem yomru tzinoro shel poni mekaleach mayim. that somebody will see that, you know, that this biv, which has a draining system and the pipes are bringing out the water, so people might get the impression that even during the summer months, you know, you're allowed to pour your rainwater, your wastewater in such a way that'll be carried out through these pipes. Or perhaps they'll think that you're allowed to even pour it into Rishus HaRabim itself. So Rava says that's not a problem either. The Braisa holds that Stam Tzinoris Mekalchim Heim. In other words, there are pipes all over the place, and people are pouring their wastewater into these pipes, and the pipes and the water is streaming and flowing. So the person who sees that there's water coming out of so-and-so's chatzer, he's going to think that this is like any other pipes where the water is constantly flowing, even when it's not raining, because of the rainwater. And rainwater during the winter months is flowing through everybody's pipes. So therefore, he's allowed during the winter months to do this. But in the case of Shofchin Lebiv, even though he doesn't need, as we said before, the waters to go out to Rishus HaRabim, from his perspective, it's okay if they get absorbed here in the ground. But the Roeh, the person, the spectator, might think that since this rainwater is going out into Rishus HaRabim, that he, the one who owns the biv and poured the water into the biv, he was interested in it going out into Rishus HaRabim. Once the spectator sees that the water is flowing through these pipes out into Rishus HaRabim, he gets the impression and draws the conclusion that the person who poured these wastewaters into the pipes was very much interested that it should go out into Rishus HaRabim. And if that person is a pious person who's pouring his water into the biv, then the spectator is going to think you're allowed to pour water into Rishus HaRabim. Omar Rav Nachman. The Gemara now quotes Rav Nachman and Abaye, who have a difference of opinion as to how to read this braisa. B'mos ha-gishomim. If during the winter months, in his chatzer he has an uka shemachzik sasayim, nosnim lo sasayim. Rav Nachman says that during the winter months, he must have an uka, this guma, and it has to have that size, that volume of water. And then we allow him to pour that amount of water, the sasayim, into the guma. Tosis, Divya Maskil Machzik, says that the same law applies, that you can be shofek sham even more than a sasayim. Okay, you don't get the wrong impression that it's up to sasayim. Once he has the guma, he can pour even more than sasayim. Now, if the uka is a smaller uka, a smaller cesspool, machzik sa, it only can hold on to a sa, then nosnim lo sa. Then during the winter months, we're going to allow him to pour up to a sa's worth of wastewater, but not beyond. Bimos hachama. During the summer months, however, we're going to be more machmir, we're going to say that if he has an uka shemachzik sasayim nosnim lo sasayim, and he has an uka that only can contain a sa, ein nosnim lo kol ikar, then we're going to prohibit him from pouring rainwater, wastewater in gans. And when the Brisa says that during the rainy season he's allowed to pour and pour and pour, that's only because during the rainy season, he doesn't even need a guma that would hold to a sasayim. Even if the guma would contain less than a sasayim, he's allowed to be shofech v'chozev v'shofech b'chotzer, up to the midah of the guma, whatever the size and the volume of the capacity of the guma. That's during the winter months. But during the summer months, they were more machmir, because people want to keep their chotzer clean during the summer months. There's no mud, and therefore they're more likely to be interested in the water, the wastewater going out into Rishus HaRabim. So we're only going to allow it if there's an uka of sasayim, and if it's less than sasayim, then he's not allowed to be shofech at all, period, during the summer months. So Gemara asks, B'mos hachama nami, machzik sa, nesiv le sa. What are you afraid of, Rav Nachman, during the summer months? So what if the ukah doesn't hold and can't contain a sasai, but let it contain a saw, and will allow him to pour at least a saw? Why are you saying in Gansen it's also to pour his water in such a case during the summer months? And the Gemara answers, Gzeira Dilma, Asi Liten La Slay Sasayim. We're afraid that once we allow him to pour, he's going to think that he's allowed to pour even a sasayim's worth. Ihachi, the Gemara says, if so, and the reason why the Isur in Yumosak Shama is that he might come to pour a sasayim is Bimosak Shama Nami Ligzar. In a case we have an ukah that can only have a capacity of one saw, we should also, even during the winter months, prohibit it because we should be afraid that once you give him a finger, he'll take a hand that'll pour even more than a saw. Gemara answers, Hosa Mai Nechushla. What are you afraid of? In other words, what's the chashash here if he pours even, you know, more than he should into the guma? Imishum kilkel chatzero. If you're going to tell me that surely he wants the water to go out in Rosh Hashanah because he doesn't want to ruin his chatzah ha-mekalkel evakayma. It's already full of mud during the winter months from the rain. V'imishum gzera shema yomru tzinoro shel ploni mekaleach mayim, because some spectator is going to think that he is, you know, he's shoving out this water on Shabbos into the Rosh Hashanah, but stam tzinoros mekalchen hein. During the rainy season, all the tzinoros around the whole town are all pouring water, and they're flowing water during the rainy season. In such a case, you don't even need a guma in the chatzer, and even if you have a large volume of water, that's fine. You're allowed to be shofet during your mosag shamim. The Mishnah says, "V'chein shtei du ta'os u'kneged zu." Right, so you have these two aliyos, and you have a chatzah in front of them. Then only the bnei aliyah on this side that created a guma, they're allowed to pour their wastewater, but not those on the other side. They didn't make a guma. Omar Rava, what's the case in our Mishnah? And the Mishnah says that those bnei aliyah that did not create a guma, they're not allowed to pour out their wastewater on Shabbos, is afilu ervu, even if these two higher floors made an erev together. Omar Abai my taima, why should it be also if they made an erev? Elam, if you're going to say mishum nefisha demaya, if you're going to tell me because as a result of the fact that there are two houses that are pouring out their wastewater, there's going to be a large volume of wastewater, and each one of them is going to use a sasayim's word, so that when they use this, that when they pour out their joint wastewater volume into a single guma, then the guma is going to end up with 4 sa'in of mayim, and you're only allowed to pour up to a sasayim vasanya. We learned in a brisa. The brisa says that you don't have to create a guma in a chatzer unless achas li uka v'achas li gistera or brecha v'areva. In other words, if you have a chatzer, a small chatzer, and you are required to create a guma in the chatzer, and the Brisa says it doesn't have to be a guma, it could be achas li gistera. Gistera is a broken shard of an earthenware, and it's cracked and so forth, but it still holds water. And he took this half of a utensil, and it receives the water. Or, for example, brecha has a fish pond that's wide. Vareva, or he has a small boat, and the water goes into that boat. Is afal pishin is malu mayim erev Shabbos shofkin l'sochan mayim b'Shabbos? Even if this guma or gistra or brecha or areva has water from erev Shabbos, nevertheless you're allowed to pour your wastewater into it on Shabbos, even though the water is going to go out into Rosh Hashanah Rabu. But since the water in this guma etc. is being placed there so that it is absorbed in the ground, And therefore, the one who's pouring this wastewater, he has no need for the water to go out of his chutz or out into Rosh Hashanah. His intention is that it be bolea. It should be nivla, it should be absorbed in the guma. And a chutz that has a guma, the das ha-shofech, his intention is that the water should be absorbed in this cesspool, in this guma. And therefore, even in the case of a chutz that's shared by two aliyos, one guma should be enough if it holds a sasayim, because the das of the shofech, the intention of the one who's pouring the wastewater, is that the water be absorbed in its place. And the Gemara answers, Eloi itmar hachi itmar, that which was quoted in the name of Rava should be reinterpreted. Amar Rava, and here we turn to Daf Peites Amud Aleph, lo shanu ela shalo irvu. Aval irvu mutarim. If the two aliyos made an eruv, then they're allowed to use the common guma and pour their wastewater. Again, if they don't have an eruv, there's a problem. So the Gemara asks, v'chilo irvu mai tai malo. What's the problem in pouring out into this chotzer without an eruv? Omar of Ashi, gzera dilma osi lafuki mimone debatim lahasam. We're afraid that in the absence of an eruv, he may be tempted, if he has a large volume of wastewater, to take a kli that he has in his house, and that's where it was Kona Shvis on Erev Shabbos, fill it up with wastewater, and then take it out to the guma of the other aliyah, of the other bnei aliyah, in order to throw it into the guma that's in the other bnei aliyah, in the other aliyah. And even if you hold that you're allowed to carry from one chutzah to another without an eruv, that's only with regard to that which was Kona Shvis on Shabbos in the chutzah. But here, he's tempted because of the large volume of wastewater to take kalim from his house, fill up the wastewater in these kalim, and then pour it out into the uka, which is located in the other aliyah. And if there was no eruv between them, then you're not allowed to take a kli that was shoves in one chutz on Erev Shabbos and carry it out into another chutz there. Hadron Alecha Ketzad Mishtatvim. In Mirtz Hashem, Blineda, tomorrow we will begin the eighth perek. No, this is already the ninth perek. Kol HaGagos is the ninth, and next to the last perek.
Sure.
So that will come. So what time do we meet tomorrow?